You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Hey, we got a new series starting today called Jesus Culture. Come on, let's give it up for our creative arts department, man. They do a great job with all of our graphics, and the purpose of this series will be taking the purpose, taking the culture. Everybody say culture. The culture of Jesus' life and making it, encouraging it, compelling it to be the culture of your life. Now, I said a lot right there. And so there are about 1,000 different options we could choose from with that type of intro in looking at what made up the culture of the life of Christ. Because how many know Christ emulated a culture of a lot of great things? The first one being love. Christ emulated a culture. How many know Jesus loved like nobody loved? I mean, he had a culture of love. He also had a culture of acceptance. How many know he accepted anyone in his day? He accepted like no one in his day accepted. He wasn't ashamed to be around anyone, regardless of how lowly society viewed them to be. He found pride in being around them. He lived with arms wide open under. Anyway, I was just, you know what I'm saying? He just walked around singing Creed songs. Like, he just loved to accept everybody. He had a culture of giving. He gave like nobody gave. Jesus had a culture of truth. Everything he did surrounded truth, from what he said to how he prayed to the acts and the deeds that he and habits he attached to his life. Jesus emulated a culture of holiness. He lived set apart. Let me say it this way. Completely set apart. That's what the word holy means, right? It means completely set apart from the culture of the world around him. He had his own culture in his life. He emulated a culture of serving. He served, my God, on a level that changed the world. And I could do about 1,000 other different examples. You know, at the end of the day, and by day I mean life, Jesus doesn't want the incredible attributes that we just shared to be displayed just with his life. He desires so much for you and I to follow with our lives the example, the template that he left with his. You know, every time Jesus said the words, "Follow me," whether it was Matthew 4:19, Matthew 9:9, or like what we see in Mark 8:34, where Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, must take up their cross." These aren't suggestions. And he says, "and must follow me." How many know when Jesus said, "follow me," he wasn't like saying, "follow me to Jerusalem" or "follow me to a physical location." He was talking about example. He was saying, "do with your life what it is that I'm doing with mine." And so this month, we're going to highlight serving this entire month. We're going to take a look at the importance of having a servant culture in your life, because this word right here has been in me for a while now to get out to you as Journey Church. Because if you want to make the culture of Jesus' life the culture of your life, you must be a person that emulates serving. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, Jesus speaking on the parable of the bags of gold and the sheep and the goats, both of which give light to the judgment seat of Christ, this judgment that we will all experience as believers. He calls the one whom he blesses at the judgment seat servant. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hear me. A servant's heart is a prerequisite for God's blessing at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me say that again. A servant's heart is a prerequisite for God's blessing at the judgment seat of Christ for your life. Serving was such a heavy focus to the life of Christ and his disciples that the New Testament alone contains over 1,100 different scriptures that all give light to and talk on the importance of serving. Serving the Lord through, number one, serving the local church you're part of. Serving the Lord through, number two, serving your own family members and those closest to you. Serving the Lord through, number three, serving your neighbors that you live around. And serving the Lord, number four, lastly, through serving the stranger, people you don't even know. That's what we're going to talk about in this series in that context. Hear me, you cannot be a believer and not serve. Now, why is that? Think about the nature of serving, and the answer to that question becomes quite easy. The nature of serving, think about it, as giving does, removes, eliminates pride, selfishness, and greed from sitting on the throne of your life. Just think about the nature of serving in the context of what I just said. It eliminates pride, selfishness, and greed from the throne of your life, all of which pride, selfishness, and greed are primary enemies to your faith. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are actually six different verses in the Bible that all say the exact same thing. One of them is found in James chapter 4 and verse 6, wherein it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That statement is found six different times in the Bible. It's the most repeated verse. It's also found in Psalm 138:6, Proverbs 3:34, Proverbs 29:23, Matthew 23:12, Luke 1:52, 1 Peter 5:5, and like we just saw here in James 4:6. God opposes the proud. You know what that tells me right there is that your pride is an enemy to God himself. I don't know if we like to think about anything in us standing up to be an enemy against God, but think about it in the context of pride, all of which every single person in this room understands that struggle. Your pride is an enemy to God himself. He wants us to understand it. It's the same statement six different times. And I want us to understand the Bible's not like something that was just all written in one day. So for something to be said six different times over the course of 1,600 years, 40 different authors, think about that, 66 books, that's something that God wants to ensure we all know. Your pride is an enemy to God himself. In fact, one of the truths found in theology, and for those of you who don't know what theology means, theology is theos, theos meaning God, ology meaning study of. One of the truths found in theology is that God must, everybody say must, be first. It's the doctrine called the preeminence of God. Serving directly honors that. Serving honors the preeminence of God. The preeminence of God meaning God must be first for anything to work. Think about this. If from him all things were made, and we believe that, amen, then by him all things must be governed for those things to work. Meaning, if God is not in control of it, it simply won't work. God must be on the throne in all things. And pride, by nature, removes God from that platform and puts ourselves in place of it. To say, God, I don't need you telling me what to do in everything that I do. I'm going to be in control of me. How many know that's our culture today? Pride is an enemy to God himself, because it removes God from the platform, the throne room of ourselves. Pride, in fact, if you look at Scripture, is the greatest enemy to God. And that is what's so amazing about the culture of Jesus' life, is that he, think about this one, he shows us how to live humble. He shows us how to live humble. We're talking, and we see it in every square inch of his life. He taught us how to live through his example that we are to follow. He taught us how to live without pride, having any hand on the steering wheel of your life, of your faith. Listen, my life, your life must follow in willingness of heart and act and deed the life Jesus lived if we want his blessing in our judgment. So let me just go ahead and ask the question, because we understand the importance of this. I just don't want to do this. I want to do it as he did it. So I want to ask the question, how did Jesus serve? I don't want to just emulate serving as I think it to be. I want to serve as Jesus served, because I'm after his blessing at his judgment seat. How many of you want his blessing at his judgment seat for your life? And I ain't going to be there with y'all, all right? So you got to take notes and remember this, because it ain't like you're going to be able to look at me. I'm be like, yeah, I did my job. I'm going to just skirt out of the room and go into another place. Amen. This is your judgment seat. How did Jesus serve? You ready? Because the answer is simple. I'm not putting 3 points to it. It's real simple. Wherever there was a need, he served it. That's it. Man, if you would live your life, somebody need to go to get that tattoo just right here on your neck. Just wherever there's a need, he served it. There's this man by the name of Bill Wilson, who I consider to be one of the most incredible people on planet Earth today. The reason for that is his story and his connection to my faith. And I'll share that here in a second. This was a man who is considered one of the most incredible men in the context of outreach and missions in the world today. At 9 years old, he was left on a street corner by his parents, who just dropped him out of the car, said, wait here, we'll be back, and the parents never came back. Just abandoned, parents abandoning their 9-year-old son right there on a street corner for whatever reason. And he stayed there for over a week waiting for his parents to come back. And there was this family that used to attend at a little Assembly of God church down there in Florida that would drive by that street corner every day, and they begin to notice after a couple days, this boy, this same boy, is still there on the street corner. And after a couple days, they asked him, hey, why are you here? And he just said, don't worry, I'm waiting for my parents. They're going to be here. I'm just waiting for them. Okay. And they just kept seeing him. And so after 7 days of seeing the same 9-year-old boy on the street corner, they said, you know, we got to do something. We got to, you know, so they said, hey, listen, let's figure out where you're at here. And they talked to the police department. Nobody knew where he was going. And these guys had some connections in with social services. Anyhow, it was this unique God situation. They said, well, before we figure out what we're going to do, there was a youth camp happening that summer. So this was in the summer when he was 9 years old. And the couple said, we don't know what we're going to do with you yet, but we're going to pay for you to go to a youth camp. Everybody approved it, and so he went to a youth camp, gave his life to Jesus at that youth camp, and God said that you're going to do mighty, mighty things with the rest of your life. Now, I can't go on and continue his life, but he ended up getting to a point where Tommy Barnett, who pastors Phoenix First Assembly, or Dream City Church now as it's known to be, we take our staff there regularly to go to that Dream Conference. They're the ones that started the Dream Centers. Like, they're the ones. This is it. And Tommy Barnett saw this young man, Bill Wilson, and hired him. He was still rough, but hired him to be a youth pastor. Now, during that time, this was back in the late 70s, he had a youth group that was around 2,000 kids. It was the largest youth group in the United States of America. My pastor, Steve Lummer, got saved in his youth group in Davenport, Iowa, And he ended up raising Steve Lummer in the faith and started to share a lot about those principles. And so Steve Lummer today will still call Bill Wilson his pastor. And I've had the opportunity to meet and talk and hang out with Bill Wilson because of their relationship. And so how he has influenced my pastor, you know, and how my pastor's influenced me. I'm very thankful for this man and who he is to my life. And what's interesting about his story is being the youth pastor of such this incredible ministry in Davenport, Iowa, underneath Tommy Barnett, who at the time was pastoring Westside Assembly, which was, I mean, dominating times in the 70s. Hadn't Johnny Cash came out to the church, 25,000 people filling the stadium. I mean, just this incredible experience. Bill Wilson just up and left and went to New York City, where there was nothing. There was no ministry waiting for him. He just left to go to New York City. And from there, he started Metro Ministries, which ends up today reaching 30,000 kids every single week through a feeding program, Sunday school, sidewalks. I mean, it's a really incredible ministry. And now he reaches out to kids and orphans all around the world. And I had the opportunity in 2002 to have dinner with him and my pastor at Ruby Tuesdays at Mid Rivers Mall Drive. And I was like, I've heard about him, so I finally got the opportunity to meet this guy. And I wanted to know, like, how do you leave the largest youth group in America? How do you leave such an influential place to just nothing? Like, to just go to New York City? Like, that's crazy to me. I mean, imagine yourself just at the epitome of what they would call ministry success, and to just leave it, to go find some one-bedroom flat somewhere for next to nothing with some interns and just barely making it. And I remember asking him at Ruby Tuesdays while he's eating his salad, you know, he's a very rough personality, talks with a very hoarse voice, and he gets annoyed when you ask him too many questions. So I was very careful in how I was guiding my conversation with him, because I was like, I wanted to know. And I'm like, I just got to ask you. And he's not even looking at me. He's like, what? You know, because he talks like this if you hear him talk. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I just got to ask you, Pastor, like, what made you leave Davenport, Iowa to go to New York City where you had everything to go to nothing? Like, what burning bush experience did you have? Tell me about that time that God told you, you got to go to New York City. And what blew me away is what he said. He said this, he was still salad in his mouth, and those brown croutons, one was just kind of sitting there right in the corner of his mouth. He's just like, he says, God never called me to go to New York City. And he just kept eating. I'm like, all right, that makes all the sense in the world. So now did you get fired? Did you leave? Like, what happened? And he could kind of tell that I was a little confused. And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean? He goes, Jesse, he goes, the need is the call. He said, do I have to hear from God to go to a place where there are homeless kids that haven't had a meal for days? Where there are kids just like me waiting on a street corner for somebody to come and get them. It's going to be a pimp or it's going to be a drug dealer. Do I have to wait for God to tell me to go do that? Or is the need itself God telling me to go do that? He said the need is the call. And that rocked my faith, man. That moment, it rocked my faith to a level I didn't even finish my burger, which was incredible. And I was just like, I don't even care about this thing. Like, tell me more, teacher. Like, it really impacted me to a place. Do I really need God to tell me to go somewhere? The need is the call. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe there's some balance there. Hear me. I mean, the Bible's quite endorsing on the importance of being led by the Spirit and listening to His voice and where we are to go and what we are to do. But I believe even that has a balance. Many times the need itself around you is the call, is His voice, is what He has led you to do. Let me go back to Jesus. He served needs indiscriminately. Look at the example found in the healing of the leper in Matthew 8. We're not going to necessarily turn there. If you get some time, read the first 10 verses of Matthew 8. He healed a leper, where it says in verse 3 that Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Culture did not celebrate such a thing. Lepers were so discriminated against. I mean, you're talking, it was a disease of filth, I mean, it was just disgust. And so they had to walk on the other side of the street and announce and scream, "I'm a leper," just to keep people out of the way. You did not connect to somebody. And Jesus, and, I mean, the culture then did not celebrate that in act or deed, no matter how much compassion Jesus had. Verse 3 says he did something that culture did not celebrate. He reached out and touched a leper. How many know with Jesus, the presence of someone's mess never hindered his ability to love or to reach them and touch them? Jesus served people indiscriminately, and how many know we need to be the same? Look at the example found in John 4 with the woman at the well, this outcast of society again that Jesus engages in and has a conversation with. Jesus served at these levels. He seemed to regularly allow, now watch this, the needs of others to take precedence over what he was doing in the moment. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but most of the miracles in the Bible, including the two examples I just shared with you, were interruptions. These people just straight interrupted Jesus when he was on the way somewhere else, heading to be with someone else. "Jesus, please, would you stop what you're doing and help me through what it is that I'm going through?" And he stopped what he was doing and reached out to the needs that interrupted him around him. Maybe that's why we don't see miracles like we could today, in that we don't allow ourselves to be interrupted by the needs around us that God sets around us every day to meet, because we're just too busy. Hear me, don't allow the culture of busy to keep you from the culture of Jesus in your life. To have Jesus results, you must have a Jesus culture. Somebody say a good amen. Come on, somebody serve somebody. Serving carries with it so many benefits outside of just blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, which is a monstrous motivator in itself, I know. But let me focus on it in a local church context, which I kind of want to talk about here in the few minutes we have left. When you serve in a local church, it's the greatest way to make a church feel like family. Come on, Jesus didn't establish the church in America today to be like conferences where we just come and hear a message and then go live our lives. He called us to not be hachal, a temple building. He called us to be ecclesia, a people, a community, a family. And the greatest way to make a church feel like family is when you serve together. When you serve together, it is so much easier to share life together. When someone tells me, "I don't know anybody here," you know what my answer to them is? Always, and many of you have heard me say this to you, serve, serve. You get to find so much relationship in serving with people. Is Jim Beechler here? Is he going to be in the next service? There you are, Jim. Stand up, Jim. Stand up. Oh, it is standing up. All right, my bad. I'll just mess with you. This man right here, I love this man. He has such a servant's heart. And I never got to, how long have you been coming here with your family? 6 years. And it wasn't till about 3 years ago that I really got to know you. Because he was here almost every day during our building program, getting this place ready. He works second shift and would come. He hates me saying all this because he doesn't like pride or anything like that, but it's all right. It's my sermon. I preach it. But he'd get here early in the morning and then serve until he had to go to work. This is a jack of all trades. Just the blessing that he's been in serving alongside him got myself, got Pastor Tim, Pastor Jake, Angel, Pastor Steve, all got all of us to know him at levels, and many of you that served here too. I mean, this guy's incredible, and is willing to almost ruin the $100 illustration I did in the Blessed Life series a few weeks ago when I planted a $100 bill, and he was actually going to come and give me one. And so it was just, what a servant heart. I got to know him, and today I just consider him such a friend, such a great resource to my faith. I got to know him through serving together. For many of you in this room, hear your pastor today, it's time for you to make Journey Church that family around your life instead of that conference that you attend on the weekend. Let us in. Hey, you know what that sound is? It's us. Let us in. Let us in. Amen? Come on now. Serving in a local church allows you not just to make your church feel like family, it allows you to make a difference in the life of another, which again is the direction of Scripture. Did you know it takes right over 100 people a weekend to make these service experiences happen? Think about that just for a second. At Journey Church, whether it's people in the parking lot or greeters at the door or people serving at the cafe, giving information at the foe, ushers serving in the room, kids ministry in room one with our little babies, room two with our toddlers, room three with our pre-K and kindergarten students, room four with our first through fifth graders, at our check-in station, our safety team here making us safe. It takes people to serve here in our music program. We don't pay musicians here except the big bearded guy. Our media team and our sound team and our creative arts department that helped make all this happen, all through volunteers, deacons serving, cleaning teams pre and post, our saver events, our crew events, our other groups events that take place, our outreach events, our events. All of it takes people serving people to make it happen. And what makes Journey Church such a thriving church is people serving people. What makes Journey Church the experience that it is when you come here on Sunday is people serving people. Let me show you what I mean. Do you have that video? We show this at our Impressions Banquet just to show you the impact that a person has to maybe even a new family that comes here. I had Skyler like take a camera with his family and just give a first-person view on what it takes to have a Sunday morning experience from the seat. Check this out. From the time the car's driving in to the time that we get to see it. What's the first thing you see when you come in? People serving people. People serving people. When you get out of your car, we're there. Look at Matt. Gonna be like a gnat on you. Boom. People serving people. Getting your way out of your car when you come in the building. Come on, somebody. People serving people. People serving people. If you're hungry, people serving people. It takes people serving people just to come in here and have a seat before the service starts. And how many know that experience you experience every single time you come in here? And how many are thankful for those people that serve in that capacity? Let me break it down this way. What is our vision here at Journey Church? Our vision at Journey Church, in other words, why we exist, is to see dreams discovered and built, and to see broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. That's why we're here. Meaning, everything we do here at Journey Church exists for this purpose right here. Everything we do. If anything we do walks away from this purpose, we cut it off. It's not worth doing it. Because this is why God put us here. This right here is our vision. To help be a pointer, everything we do, a catalyst for others to see their value. That they are not a mistake. They are not an afterthought. Rather, It's the opposite. You are a forethought. You were planned. And God created every single person in this world for a dream, for a reason, for a purpose. And we believe it's a great one. And nothing accomplishes that message more than serving. Because serving shows someone they have value. By serving you, I show you that you have value. How many know if you had servants around you everywhere, you would feel important. You would feel like you were somebody. You would feel like you had status. That's the culture that we're talking about. God exists for us, or should I say God calls us to be a big part of why we exist, to serve one another, show each other, remind each other that you have value. Everyone around me has value. Serving is you taking time away from you to show someone else that they matter too. What do you think Jesus was doing when he washed the disciples' feet? Something a servant did. Don't tell me that they, the disciples, didn't feel valued after God himself got down on his knees and washed the filth from their feet. We're not talking just some cotton lint in between the cracks of their toes. We're talking junk and gunk that was inside the feet of these men. Don't tell me that experience didn't cause them to look within and think, what am I here for? If God is doing this for me right now, there must be a reason to me. There must be a purpose to me in that he's trying to get out of me. Somebody serve somebody. My God, I feel like a mosquito right now at a nude beach. There's just so many places to go right now. Like I could just go 1,000 different directions with this message. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to eliminate the word volunteer here at Journey Church. I'm done with that word. No more. And I want you to hold me accountable if I ever say it from the stage. I want to eliminate that word here. Because to me, the nature of the word volunteer is just a eh. It's just eh. From now on, we're calling our volunteers, hear me, the dream team. A team of people, whether it's in the parking lot or in a kid's classroom, are a part of a dream team. Whether you're serving in the media booth or you're serving on the stage, you are a part of a dream team, a team of people that exists to show others that God created us all with a dream, and he wants us all to discover it and build our life and faith toward it. And we're here to help. Come on, if you believe that, would you say a good amen? The need is the call. There's a need here at Journey Church for you to join the dream team. You got those forms? And here's what I mean. This is how we're going to close this service here today. Some of you are like, oh, this is why you did this. Dang right. I think it's important before we learn the what that we know a why. Come on. So right now, you guys can go out and hand these out. We're going to pass out these forms. And this is what I want you to do when you get these forms. Because what this is showing is what we would love for you to be part of and do here at Journey Church. To join, if you have not already, the dream team. So, I believe we have pens in the seats. What I want you to do with this form is to do three things. Can you put those three things up there on the screen? We're going to call look, check, test. Okay? Look, check, test. Everybody say that together. Look, check, test. One more time. Ready? Look, check, test. What I want you to do is, number one, look at this form. Because what this form has, it's not only the information that we want you to fill out here in the center, but around this form, and we may need to turn the house lights up so that everybody can see their form really well. Like impressions, and you see like a faint number behind each area. Like this is the amount of people that we would love to see in that area, 43 people. Now we have way more than that already in impressions, but what we want to see is that many people attach themselves to impressions. And by the way, signing up for an area means this. You serve one service per month. One service per month. People that say, I'm too busy to serve, don't understand the nature of what serving really even is. We're not talking serving every week, both services, anything. I'm thinking one service a month. One service a month. We would love to see 43 decisions like that in our impressions teams, which is serving through parking. Our cleaning teams, which is serving through God, keeping God's house presentable. Our safety teams, our worship teams. Man, I'm telling you, Tim is looking to add to our team. If you're a drummer and you've not let us know that you're a drummer, God help you. Amen. You better let us know. Or guitar players and keyboard. Maybe it's an instrument we don't even know yet that you play. Let us know. Journey Kids. We need 26 workers in Journey Kids. I mean, I'm telling you, Pastor Danny and that team does an incredible job over there, Journey Kids. And it would be so awesome to have you join that already amazing functioning team. Media and production. Man, maybe you're just one of those creative types. Whether you'd like to serve through audio and visual opportunities. We're looking for photographers and people to help run our camera and run our live feed. Service directors. There's so much behind the scenes that help make the creative experience of Journey Church work. And then our maintenance teams. If you're gifted, one of those jack of all trades, be a part of it. So here it is. Number one, look. And then number two, check. So what I want you to do here in just a moment, matter of fact, I'm going to give you just about 3 minutes. Matter of fact, let's do that. Just go ahead and put 3 minutes on the clock right now. And what I want you to do is just put a check mark next to an area or two, okay? And realize by checking an area, you are not signing up for that area. Everybody say, I am not signing up for this area. By putting a check mark, you're not signing up for the area, all right? You're simply going to get scheduled for a test drive. One time, we're just going to ask you, hey, test drive this area that you checked, Mark, and see if you like it. See if that's something that you want to do. If not, we'll put you in another area and make sure that that's something that fits to where you feel like your passions are being used to help make somebody see that they matter and they have value. So I want to give you just a few minutes. We can maybe put some like light background music or something in the 2 minutes and 20 seconds that we got left. Go ahead and take some time and just go ahead and check that area real quick. No cheating or looking at somebody else's card. Come on. If you're online watching right now and you're just one of our Journey Church members, we want to encourage you, man, just go ahead and comment or send us a message right now and just say, hey, I'd like to serve, and then we'll be in touch with you concerning one of those areas. We want everybody here to emulate a culture of serving inside of your local church, which is so, so biblical. Amen. Got just about 30 seconds left. Do we have our baskets in the back? We're going to have baskets in the back here on our way out the door. And this is all I want you to do when we leave here. I want you to take this card and just drop it in the basket on the way back. okay? And we're going to get in touch with you this week via text or email. Circle which you would prefer, like if you have text, then make sure you circle yes. And listen, we're going to get in touch with you. If you're not sure and you're maybe like, I'm not sure what area, then just write on there, not sure. We'll get in touch with you. We'll figure an area out. Sometimes that'll come out of conversation. And what we're going to do, like I said, is we're going to schedule with you just a test drive at your convenience. I may not be able to serve until the second week of June. That's okay. We'll schedule that test drive then, because we want you to fit and we want you to be able to do it. But hear me, watch this now. Know that there is purpose to everything we do here at Journey Church. Everything we do, it's all for Him to reach others through your life that needs to have a Jesus culture in it. And a culture of serving here at Journey Church, as well as the other avenues we're going to talk in this series. Like next week, we're going to talk about how to serve the members of your family, how to serve your spouse, how to serve your kids, how to serve your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents, those in your family. It's going to be a fantastic Mother's Day message. And the week after that, we're going to talk about the workplace. Sometimes it's going to be good. But it's all to install a healthy culture of serving in your life that will take your life toward the results that Jesus has for your life, as well as, everybody say, as well as, and this is important, impacting the lives of the generation coming after us. Come on, let's be culture creators that will influence the cultures to come. What I mean by that is there was a poll done by kids graduating from seniors to junior high that was done last year. And it was about careers. And it was just blank. It wasn't like you're going to do X, Y, and Z, pick one, circle one. It was just this blank. And it said, what is your desired career choice? Would you believe this or not? From middle school all the way to seniors, 54%. Of all students said the same thing. Anybody know what it is? I want to be a celebrity. I want to be a YouTube star. I want to be a movie star. I want to be a TV icon. What does that mean? What are they saying? What they're saying gives way to the type of culture that we live in, that we want the attention of the world on us. Hearts that say, how can I get the world to focus on me? How many know vanity is winning the culture of the day? And God is calling us to live with a different mindset. Somebody say a good amen. And by us, by you, maybe as a parent, emulating that culture in your life will influence your kids to do the same. And you don't know how that'll impact their life and calling. I'm telling you, Jesus has about 1,000 different benefits if we would just live to His command. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.